Well, in John 4:23, we learn that he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. This means that we must have the spirit of our Lord in our hearts always.
Okay, the spirit of our Lord in our hearts. Very good.
I'm Brother Bruce from Mohammed, Illinois. And I appreciated the one reference in reprint 2071 that was given. And appreciate that, the point that Brother Russell's making there, that worship in spirit and truth is not just prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, but it has to affect the entire life. He says an entire life of worship. And so how do we know if we're just rendering lip service or if we're actually worshiping in spirit and in truth? We have to, it implies self-examination. You know, we have to look at ourselves and see if we are actually living that life of worship, or if we're just you know, doing it in the words just when we're around the brethren or something like that. So it has to affect our entire life, even when nobody's looking, right?
Very good. It must affect our entire life. And we must really see these fruits bear out in that.
Sister Ellen Roberts from the Antioch Ecclesia, I was just going to add to Brother Ed Warwick's comment. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And what is the Spirit of Christ? I delight to do thy will, O my God. So if we do not delight to do his will, then we are probably doing a little lip service there.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Very good thought.
Sister Millie Andrus from Salem. And we were just thinking of the expression, actions speak louder than words. And the pastor says, the captivated heart will seek to bring every talent of the body into complete subjection to the will of God in Christ.
Very good. Actions speak louder than words. There's also this reprint, 5880. And he says here that the greater our earnestness, the more acceptable will be our prayers, and the more abundant our blessings we shall receive. So this earnestness that we see, if it's just a mechanically going to the Lord in prayer, do we ever go to the Lord in prayer mechanically? I mean, that's a question we should ask ourselves. You know, every morning we come to the Lord in prayer. Is it a mechanical prayer? At the dinner table we pray, is it mechanical? Or is our heart truly in that prayer? And the same with our lives. Is it a mechanical going through life, or are we living it, living our Lord, living His principles, and striving to, pray proper times? Yes.
First, I want to apologize for my jumping around, because that's a problem I have now. But I don't want to sit here just say nothing. So this is a John. This is John 4:23. Says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship in truth and worship in spirit of the Father. So you have to be in truth and the spirit of the Father in your prayers, otherwise they're not worth much.
Very good. And we want to notice the context here, that our Lord is talking to the woman, at the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And he says, he asked her to give him water, and later he returns and he says that whatsoever shall drink of this water that he has shall never thirst. Remember that? And he goes on to say that this reprint kind of on this is kind of cool. Let's see it right off. I think it's 2070. He goes on to say that really be saying that in this new dispensation they will it's really a spiritual dispensation. And they'll worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truths now, again, are truths that hadn't been given before. So, any further thoughts?
The world has a saying, your actions are speaking so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. And so if we claim one thing and act out another, our example as ambassadors is going to be sad.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts on that question. We'll go on to the next one. If I can find them again here. OK, Okay, the next starred one is number 11. What are some practical suggestions for avoiding selfish prayers? And we have a few listed here, A through E, and others as well. So what are a few practical suggestions? Remember, now we're in the practical application side. What are a few practical suggestions for avoiding selfish prayers?
Sister Melly Andrus again. Just one little brief thought out of reprint 2006 is that we can ask ourselves, why do I want this?
Important question. Thank you.
Brother Allen, I think it's important to check where our thoughts are most of the time. If our thoughts are on ourselves, our prayers are going to be selfish about ourselves. If our thoughts are on our brethren, for instance, on our Lord, on us furthering His plan, then our prayers will be along that line.
Very good. Very important thing. Our thoughts should and prayers should be outward for the blessing of others. And a thought along that line was this first A here, praying for the welfare of Jerusalem. Is there a thought in the back there?
I'm Brother Carl Rose from San Marcos, California. Just one quick thought that popped into my head was that we have to think more of God's will and what His will is for us and not what our will is for ourselves, rather than praying for something that we want for ourselves. It's we sit and pray for His will to be done, not for our will to be done.
Very good. And that's a vital part of it, isn't it?
Sister Kathy from St. Louis, Missouri. Just a reference in the question book, page 814. Brother Russell it's in response to should Christians pray for health, but it's kind of a good thought. He says, the Christian should discern that his consecration includes his setting aside of all claim to earthly blessing as an exchange for spiritual life, spiritual health, spiritual clothing, spiritual food, and by and by in the resurrection, the spiritual body. His prayer should be, thy will be done in me. Give me today my daily portion, according to thy divine wisdom, of what would be for my best interest as a new creature in Christ, the member of the body of Christ, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. So basically, only to pray, what's your will for me, Father, and not to have any preference in the matter.
Very good. Over here, I believe.
I'm Brother Dan Beard from Puget Sound Ecclesia, and I'd like to reference Songs in the Night, September 19th. There we are told it is not for us to exert force in opposition, not to shout loudly about our rights. We are to remember that in becoming soldiers of the cross, we voluntarily gave up all earthly rights in order that we might be participators with the captain of our salvation, who permitted all of his rights to be taken from him, even unto death. So if we have that same commitment as did our captain, self will be taken out of the picture. We have given up all our rights, and our focus should be on others then, unselfishly praying for others in their circumstances.
Very good. Very good.
Our prayers should not be for self-aggrandizement, but for the glory of God.
The God glory, very good, thank you. Also up here in the front. Oh, okay.
Sister Kathy Ross from Antioch Ecclesia. In the reprint 2006, it says, and this is something I try to always remember, is using our Lord's example, that over and over in His ministry, He looked always to do things for others and to do the Father's will, and when He formed His prayers, it was always not for Himself, but for others. And it gives the example in this article about His Gethsemane experience and how He could have had 12 legions of angels to protect His person and His life, yet he would not ask, preferring to have his Father's will accomplished, which he had come to perform. We just look to him for as our model.
So even in affliction, he's looking at others and for their welfare. Very good. I think there was one right up here in front.
Okay. Sister Doris again from Salem. I agree with Sister Kathy. Is that Kathy?
Yes.
Sister Kathy. In Pilgrim's Echoes, it mentions about selfish prayers, and it says we should, you know, pray for the Lord's will to be done in us, but always pray for the us class, and that's our brethren, that their experiences and that the Lord will give them strength in their experiences and will bless them. So we always should remember our brethren. And I think it's in Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us consider one another to stimulate unto love and to good works. And we should do that. Always pray for our brethren in that respect.
Very good. This, I think you're referring to page 419. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where he gets down on his knees and he's praying and he's praying for, understanding of God's plan. And he's praying for all these various things. And that the Lord would bless him and his service and bless him in this and that and the other thing. And then he comes to the realization, well, you know, this was all selfish. It's all for me. And when he got down, then he got down in prayer, and he, instead of I in all these places and my, he put our. Our and we. I think it's really important that we do this. We long to see each one of the brethren make their calling and election sure. And as we pray, we want to think about them and think about seeing them be fully faithful and desiring that as we desire our own self being faithful. So I think it's a wonderful example. Thank you. Brother Darcy.
Well, Brother Steve, this is Brother Darcy Andrews from Salem. And the question asked for some practical suggestions for avoiding selfish prayer.
Right.
And we've talked about the looking at our motives, but one easy way to know whether or not that deceitful heart is deceiving us even in our analyzing our motives is look at our actions. If we're doing for self, then we can be fairly much assured that the prayers will be for self also. If we're doing for others, then the actions are showing the true condition of the heart, and we can be fairly assured that the prayers will go along with that same activity.
Very good. Are we doing for others? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Okay. I guess we'll go on to the next question, number 12. Why is prayer at the start and the conclusion of each day especially important? And what are some practical suggestions for first morning prayer and then evening prayer? So why are these, the start and conclusion each day, why are these prayers especially important? And any thoughts on that? Okay, we've got two hands. Brother Borowick.
Well, Brother Borowick from Salem, Oregon. Important that we have our morning prayers. It's to renew our covenant daily with our Lord, and it's very important to do that. Without His help, we would not be successful. And with the evening prayers, it's important to square our accounts with the Lord. And if we don't square our accounts with the Lord may not be pleased to grant us further blessings till we correct the matters that we have erred in. So I think it's very important that we consider both aspects.
Two important things. So we'll go on now to the specifics and talking about... Oh, I'm sorry. One more comment here.
Brother Larry again from Antioch. I think the morning prayer is so important speaking for myself, as it sets the tone of what my mind is going to be on for that day, is my communion with the Heavenly Father first thing. And if I miss that, which I thank the Heavenly Father I haven't for a long time, there's a big difference in my day and my mind getting started on the wrong track.
Very good. Thank you very much. Now to the specifics. What about our morning prayer? What are some practical suggestions in our morning prayer starting off this day? One has already been is renewing our consecration here. It's already been mentioned. There may be specifics in that area.
Well, the pastor also, Sister Millie Anderson from Salem.
I'm sorry.
Pastor also suggests Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Very good. He suggests ending our prayer, our morning prayer, with that thought. Thank you.
I like this consecration card that Brother Barton had. I disclaim all right to myself from henceforth to my soul, my body, my time, my health, my reputation, my talents, or anything that belongs to me. I confess myself to be the property of my glorious Redeemer. I dedicate myself to Him, to serve and love and trust Him.
Very good. I like this thought. I disclaim all right to myself. And then to be so specific, I think it's very good, very helpful. Brother Bennett, is that? Do you have your hand up, I think? Yeah. Okay.
I'm Brother Robert Bennett from Antioch class. We, as a class, have been enjoying a saying that's been attributed to Brother Jerry Andrus, that if you don't do this morning prayer, then as a Christian you're unemployed for the day. You know, and when you stop and think about it, this is a very true statement, because if it is our business to do the Father's business, then we need to check in with boss, so to speak, you know, at the beginning of the day to make sure that we're in harmony with those plans.
Very good.
I'm Brother Stanley Gorgas from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm sorry I didn't mention that the last time.
That's fine.
A good thought in our minds for the morning is that every thought, word, and action for the day have as its basis love in one form or another.
So we'd ask the cultivation of love in the beginning of the day. Is that correct? Yeah, very good.
Hello, my name is Sister Eleanor from West Virginia. And the importance of a morning prayer is you need, it tells the Lord that you need His guidance and counseling and direction through the day. And as you go through the day, you also spot your robe and make mistakes. And so at the end of the day, you need to go over the activities of the day with the Heavenly Father and get the robe cleansed and discuss the events of the day. And this particular activity of opening your day with this prayer and getting this counseling and closing it and going to the Heavenly Father to draw, that will make your relationship with Him much closer, and it will also make your walk much more circumspect. It makes you more cautious, and that's what we want, because we know we're going to get spotted as we walk through the world. The scriptures tell us we will, but we want to get the least amount of spots, keep as clean as we can, because we need a white robe for our wedding, and so we got to keep that robe cleansed. And every night we should cleanse it with the blood, precious blood of Jesus, through prayer and appealing to the Heavenly Father. So prayer is very important. And I found out through this study it's even more important than I had realized. I'm really thankful for this study.
Very good. And so have I. It's been a blessing. Glad the class has brought that to our attention here.
Brother Carl Rose from San Marcos. I also feel that not only I agree with the sister there, but you're also praising God for that day. You're waking up and giving Him praise. for the entire day. And this, you praise Him at night also, but you are praising Him for that day when you say your prayer in the morning.
Very good. Brother Darcy. Sorry.
I'm Brother Webber from Antioch Ecclesia. In Isaiah 41:10, I think we put that in our mind in the morning prayer. We'll appreciate it. It says, "Fear not, thou. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee in my right hand." So if we put that in our mind and then go our morning prayer, it'll give us strength for that day.
Very good. Thank you.
Brother Steve, Brother Darcy Andrews from Salem, was thinking of the morning and the evening prayer in conjunction with the picture of the tabernacle and the fact that the high priest was to go in each morning after offering the morning sacrifice to trim the lamp and to offer incense, and he was to end each day with the evening sacrifice and to go in to offer incense and trim the lamp. And it sets the tone for the day. It puts the mind either, if we neglect it, on worldly things, and that pretty much sets the tone for the day,
yeah.
Or it puts the mind in the morning upon the spiritual things, reminding us of our sacrifice, our responsibilities and privileges, and sets that day to be, as has been indicated, a profitable one. And then, of course, the evening activities being that of we take the successes and the losses, lay them before the Lord, and benefit the more from those experiences.
Very good. And I wonder if anybody has the quote in reprint 5030. It's called a Prayer of the Consecrated. Does anyone have that as an example? But, okay.
Yes. Here. Well, 5630. Dear Heavenly Father, reverently and in the name of Jesus, I approach thy throne to renew my consecration vows today. Not content having made consecration years ago, I renew today and present to thee my body and powers, heart and affections, willingly, everything I possess, not withholding. And gracious and loving Heavenly Father and dear Jesus, come into my heart, take full possession and reign without rival. Dear Jesus, head of the church, continue to offer me on the altar until completed in death. Is that the one?
That's very good. Thank you. That's definitely the one.
I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm Sister Garrison from Salem, Oregon.
Thank you very much. I like the specific nature of the way you go through here, and very specific and very to the point. And I know for myself, I've started trying to do this in the last few years, and it's been a tremendous blessing. The thought of starting the day with thoughts along the lines of, like we read before, disclaiming all rights to myself. You know, I am now thine and forevermore. All my time, my money, reputation, mind and body, heart and its affections, all that I ever have or ever shall have. You know, by doing this specifically, it really brings to mind how we're going to lay these aside. These are and ever shall I am or these are and shall ever be thine, and allowing to use them fully and safely in accordance with thy will. These are some of the kinds of concepts, I think, that we're looking for. I strive to do all things as unto you this day. I strive to be faithful as a husband, father, head of the home, employee. You know, these kind of specific things, I think, are beneficial as we're thinking about our starting of the day. There's certain things we may have particular weaknesses in. I think if we can hit these things, I will strive to cultivate discipline in all my thoughts, words, and deeds. And this was a couple years back. I think I've failed some since. Haven't done this. But the thought of using this discipline and starting with the following actions in schedule, food, exercise, study, economy of expenditure. Again, very specific things that I'm going to work on this day, believing that it's a weakness that I might have. It's been I know others have attested to the same thing. It's been a tremendous strength to start it out that way. I will strive to look for the best in every person and situation. You know, keep the thoughts on the good things. I'll strive to put the Lord first in all that I do. Put the Lord first. Self, of course, would be last. Lord first, others second. I'll strive to keep the flesh fully under on the altar this day. And then again, specifically praying for various ones that have asked for prayers on their behalf. Again, along these kind of lines. So these for the morning prayer, I think, has been really assistful for me personally. And I think we also want to focus back too on the evening prayer and consider some of that. Maybe we'll start moving back that direction. I know the sister here is probably thinking more of the other, but ahead.
Just one more thought. I don't know if anyone mentioned the morning resolve.
Very good.
My earliest thought I desire shall be. And then it outlines our goals for the day. And the best part at the end, I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providences may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. And I say, that's a tall order, Lord. And we have to set that as our goal for the day.
Very good. And there's also the vow.
Yeah.
You know, the vow as well. You know, when we consider the harvest work, you know, we all know that what's remaining, at least, is our making our calling and election sure. Are we thinking of the brethren? Again, we talked about this earlier. Are we thinking about each of the brethren and praying for them, desiring them to make their calling and election sure, to finish what's left on this side of the veil? All the other things that the Lord may be doing in the earth right now that we can see, that's all around us. Are we praying for its full accomplishment? You know, when we first come to the Lord in prayer, you know, the thought, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, it's directed toward what He's doing in the earth. Is our thoughts directed that way? Are we thinking about what He's doing, not just what we're doing? And things along that line. I think the evening prayer is equally important. Are there any thoughts on this, any quotes or thoughts that anyone wanted to specifically hit on? I think there's a hand in the back here.
Thank you. Sister Weber from the Antioch Ecclesia. Brother Steve, you picked out October 28, Songs in the Night. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, Psalm 141 and 2. At the close of each day, let us square, and Brother Ed Borwick brought this out, let us square our day's account with the Lord at His throne of grace, recounting so far as we are able its opportunities used and neglected, its victories won or its defeats, its self-sacrifices and its selfishness, thanking God for the grace that helped in time of need, and apologizing for all errors and defeats, craving forgiveness in the name and merit of our Savior, and promising greater faithfulness and zeal by the Lord's grace the next day. Thank you.
Very good. And are we going to the Lord at the end of the day? Are we remembering these things? Has our mind been on earthly things or spiritual things? Can we remember back on some of these events? And most assuredly, as we go through the day, we should be asking for forgiveness if we fail. We should be trying to clean the robe as we go. We're not going to just save it all for the end of the day, because some of us don't remember as well as others, especially as they get older. But still, we should make that attempt to, at the end of the day, remember as much of the, you know, not only the failures, but some of the victories as well, and thanking for the Lord for the assistance in those victories. So a very important aspect. I think I have kind of a summary list here. I don't know if the brethren, do the brethren have any more comments on the end of the day? Don't want to cut any short here. Sister Gail.
Just kind of a summary for both the morning and evening prayer.
Okay.
I think the scripture was mentioned earlier in Hebrews 12:13, make straight paths for your feet. But I think a better translation, that is if you look at other translations, is to make level paths for your feet. So you don't get unbalanced, you see. I like that thought. And so when we start out on the day, the morning prayer is to make sure we're stepping on the right road and that we're going in the right direction. And then at the end of the day, we look back over the path that the Lord has led us, and the first thing should be to give thanks, because there are always evidences of His leading. And then to see where we've taken a misstep. Maybe we've gotten our feet a little dirty because we stepped in the wrong way, got in a little mud or something. And so we need to ask the Lord to thank the Lord for showing us that, so that we could be more on guard for the next time. And then also to... that fortifies our own minds next time we're faced with that situation, so that we can perhaps not make that misstep again. So,
very good. I like the illustration of the misstep. That's very good. A few more thoughts in summary here at the end of the day. I've listened to the convention report 390. We should never go to bed, never go to sleep with a spot on our robe. We really want to consider that. Remember, we can ask for forgiveness for things past that we don't remember, too, because our memory also fails us. We should review the day, judging our hearts, wills by the Lord's law, perfect law of love. We should square our day's account with the Lord, recounting so far as possible opportunities used and neglected, victories won or defeats. And that would include the specifics maybe we had at the beginning of the day. If we particularly realize we're weak in an area and we're striving to do better, this is the time to remember those victories and defeats, especially in that area, specifically if we can. This is hard to do. Then the self-sacrifices and our selfishness that we might see during the day. We're going to have to reflect a little bit before we go to bed to do this. Some of us find it, by the way, I found it beneficial personally, because I have a long drive in the car, and I find most of my mistakes at work. And it's not along the lines of my earthly profession. But you know, in the car, to be really thinking about these things, and towards the end of the drive, you know, be asking the Lord for forgiveness. So also, I like the thoughts that were mentioned several times here. Also, thanking our Lord for the strength and grace which brought us the victories. Thanking Him for these things. So if we have some victories, you know, we should be thanking Him. Very good, no matter how small. Thank God for the grace that helps in time of need. Apologize for all errors and defeats. Explain our desire to better honor His name and cause next time. We realize we're ambassadors for Christ. How can we better honor His cause? You know, when you think about the fact that, you know, especially in a work situation, we've had opportunities to witness these individuals, and you know, here we express our I don't know how to put it, but we express things in a way that maybe just isn't real helpful, and we can mention that to them as well. But we should ask for forgiveness there. And then promise greater faithfulness and zeal by the Lord's grace the next day. So in summary, those are some of the thoughts that maybe we had along those lines. Now for our next, is there any other thoughts the brethren have on this question? There's a couple hands that have gone up. Brother Dan Beard.
Brother Dan Beard again from Puget Sound. It occurred to me that as part of our evening prayer, what happens often is we get very weary at the end of the day.
Yes.
And so mentally we aren't as alert, and it can very easily fall asleep during our prayers and maybe not pray properly. Now, I've heard a couple of different explanations of this. You know, one sister, I believe it was, had suggested the thought that just as we cradle a baby who might fall asleep, the Lord sometimes cradles us in his arms. But Brother Russell also suggested that it's not that it might imply an improper heart attitude as well, where we're not coming to him at the proper moments or soon enough in the day, or or if we're just physically weak, we should take steps to make sure that we are alert enough to offer a proper prayer in the evening. And so if bowing our heads and laying it on the bed will cause us to fall asleep, then we shouldn't do so. If keeping our eyes open while we pray allows us to offer a more acceptable prayer, then that's what we should do. So we should take steps, in other words, to offer acceptable prayers before the Lord, whether it's our morning prayer, our evening prayer in particular, because it's at the close of day, there might be a general tendency to be a little weaker. So we just wanted to offer that thought.
I thank you, Brother Dan. That's a very, very important comforting thought. And I think it's important for us to remember that, too. And some have taken walks, too. And I know that's not the best in some areas, but to take walks that maybe before dark even, and just take some time off away and think about the day. Again, for me, the car seems to work the best. That's very good. Yes.
Brother Stanley Gorgas from Phoenix, Arizona. We want to express our appreciation at the end of the day that our Heavenly Father has given us yet another day to make our calling and election sure. And we should, of course, manifest our reverence for him in that light.
Very good. Thank you. And that is a very key issue. Brother Perry?
Yeah, between the morning prayer and the evening prayer, I thought I got from Brother Ken Williams is that he was reading about Daniel, who had his midday prayer to the Heavenly Father. And so ever since then, that's been years ago now, I've copied Brother Ken and have a midday devotional period, which is shorter than the morning devotional period, which might be a half an hour, and the evening one, which, you know, may be a little longer than the midday. But I think that that's a nice thing there, too, to have that midday aspect as far as things to pray for, either morning, noon, or night. I would find it difficult to improve on our Lord's instruction to us as how to pray, which is how I start my personal prayers, with the help that the pastor gave on some of the translational things. You know, our Father doesn't lead us into prayer, but abandon us not to trial, things like that. And additionally, a lot of thoughts of brethren have had reconsecrating our little all to the Heavenly Father, asking, and I've got this from the pastor, that he would take our efforts as a sacrifice unto him. So if you don't ask, then the Father doesn't take it as a sacrifice unto him. It might be, you might be doing something for your kids, or you might be doing something for this or that, or self, or family, or whatever. If you don't ask, Heavenly Father, take this, please, as a sacrifice unto you, he won't. And I thought, my goodness, all the things we've done in the past that we thought we were sacrificing to the Lord, that, you know, I think maybe he winks at our ignorance in those cases, and I'm sure probably some of that might have been. But now that we know it, we'd have to ask him that. And that those things also, we ask the Lord's direction and guidance. It's particularly good at the beginning of the day as opposed to the end when you're soon to be unconscious. And there was another one, I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it in a second. But the other one, I think you had said, Brother Steve, that if your robe becomes spotted or wrinkled, there's no way I could remember at the end of the day everything that I've done or thought or said wrong. No way. So that's why the instant in prayer, to me, is vital, that you're basically, the minute there's a twinge, you know, go to prayer. It could be in a meeting room of people, business people or something, and you're just sitting there silent for a while. But to me, being instant in prayer and those asking for forgiveness is vital. I just don't have the memory for it. There's another one. I can't think of what it was, but those are a couple of things.
Thanks, Brother Perry. And I too don't have the memory to be able to do all of that. And in a way, this could be discouraging, but it shouldn't. We should be taking what we can from this that we might do better to re-energize into this mode that we believe the Lord would have us. We want to be careful along those lines. There's one thought that came up also in the morning prayer when we renewing our consecration vows. Brother Dan mentioned this, I don't know, it was a few months ago, and the thought of not one thing would I withhold from you this day. And we just want to have that on our heart as we pray, and I've appreciated it ever since, so we thank Brother Dan for that. One more here.
I've often thought that one way we could have a self-examination before the Lord, before our evening prayer, will be to take our morning resolve and do it differently and say, my latest thought I desire, what did I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Did I take the cup of salvation? Did I call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help? And on and on. And was I simple and sincere toward all? And did I seek not to please and honor self but the Lord? I mean, this is a real examination of our own heart.
Very good thought. I hadn't thought of that one before. That's very good. Thank you. Yes.
I just thought of the other one. The other thought was asking for a greater measure of His Holy Spirit, which He instructed us to do, and claiming that precious promise.
Very good. Thank you. With this, we're going to move on to the next question, unless there's any left over. I think we better move on anyway, or else we won't touch on the ones that are highlighted. The next highlighted one is on 13, and are there any others on this number 13 that you'd like to watch, like to hear?
I think 14 is very important. We had it in our class study, and it's a lot of comments on the 14 is very important that we discuss that.
Okay, we'll start, and we'll have to kind of move on here then in that case. Number 13 has a couple start. There are times which, it's especially important to pray. In each of the following categories, what are some of the practical suggestions for what we should pray and why? And a couple that are starred here, and if somebody has another one they want to pick, let me know. But D, starting with D, every service for the truth. What are some practical suggestions for what to pray in this situation?
April 5th manna. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee night watches. It says prayer is not a privilege merely, but also necessity. Then down further says, whoever loses desire to thank and worship in communion with the Father of mercies, rest assured that he is losing the very spirit of sonship.
Very good. So thanks for the opportunity here. Very good. Thanks for the opportunity of service. Yes.
Sister Gail Grabner from Mahomet, Illinois. I don't have the reference in front of me, Brother Steve, but there's a reference where Brother Russell says that with every service for the truth, we should first of all give thanks we had the privilege, but we should also pray for humility, that it might not puff us up, and also that we might realize that the service was given to us not because no one else could do it, mm-hmm. but because we were willing.
Yeah.
And so that we might continue to be in that willing attitude of mind and heart, ready to perform any service, whether it's pleasing to the flesh or not.
Yeah.
That's not always easy to recognize. But anyway, I appreciate that.
Very good. That's not 2006, is it? Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. I think we could also ask for further opportunities in accordance as well, and also for the brethren, again, as we mentioned earlier. The next one would be the starred. Help me out here. I think it's L. If overcharged with business or other cares, what are some practical suggestions here? We come to the Lord in prayer.
Uh,
I'd like to share a reprint that I really appreciated on this. It's reprint, let's see, find it here now. 4871, The Christian's Attitude in the Duties of Life. And there's another one on the same page, How to Locate Ourselves. I really appreciate that. I'd like to share the burden with that.
Okay. Thank you. Any further thought on the thought of being overcharged with the cares of this life, being overcharged in business? What would be the serious situation? And our world right now is a very busy place. And you know, what do we do when we're in that kind of situation? Do we just go on and not ask for any assistance of any kind? What do we do in prayer? What would be the right thing to do?
Brother Alan Ross, Antioch Ecclesia. Difficulty with being overcharged is those that are overcharged don't know that they're overcharged, seems like. So they need to be continually examining themselves, ourselves, you know, I'll exclude myself, and praying for the Lord's guidance that we'd be able to recognize this if it comes upon us.
Very good. And that is true, isn't it? Oftentimes, I think, you know, I think there was originally two questions here. One had to do with being perplexed by, you know, the intensity of some of these things, and the other is being overcharged. And I think there's a slightly different thought, although both could end up the same way. Brother Bruce?
Yes. Brother Steve, I'm Bruce Keaton from Mahomet, Illinois. I guess the way I looked at the question was... more in a sense, if you're having trials in your work place, that sort of thing, that seem to be more than you can take, then how would you handle that? And those are proper things to take before the Lord in prayer, because if you're having some difficulty that's threatening your spiritual life, or that's making it difficult for the new creature, then that's something proper to take before the Lord. You wouldn't want to go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm having business troubles, you know, fix things for me, or something like that. But for the important thing is edification of the new creature, and if that's interfered with, then that's something that we want to take to the Lord in prayer.
And here's the key, and I appreciate that. That was in both of these reprints, the 2006 and the 1865. If we see that this is hindering our spiritual progress to a great degree, and if we see that we're just not going to make our calling and election sure under these circumstances. There may be more going on here than just experiences that are shaping us. We know that there may be cases where they may be shaping us too, but when there's no time left, when the intensity is increased to where we can't study, you know, and it's not just one or two days here, we're not just not able to get back to it, you know, there's something wrong. We're not able to assist any, you're not able to make it to class or some other, or we see that it's a prevailing thing. You see we want to be quick to go, and I think he suggests in this 1865, come to the throne of heavenly grace for the wisdom and direction as to how you may so adjust your temporal affairs as to not be overcharged with these cares. And then very carefully and with diligence look for ways that the Lord may answer that prayer. Yes.
I'm Sister Eleanor Beeman from West Virginia, and I agree with Brother Alan, that sometimes when we're overcharged, we're not aware that we're overcharged. But if we would realize that we're overcharged with business or other cares, then we would take this to the Lord in prayer and claim the promises. The scriptures tell us that we're not to be anxious for nothing. So we're not to worry about anything, and that all the earthly things will be taken care of, that we're to worry about seeking the kingdom and that only. And so we would need to go to him and remind not him of his word, but remind him that we remember this word, and that give us the strength to do this, to come back into this attitude of mind, that we would be careful and worry about nothing and just the spiritual, and to get healed from this overchargedness or this worry, some
condition, because the Lord would help us.
Very good. And a lot of this, see, we may not actually change our physical circumstances, but if mentally we're able to have this peace, where we can possibly change a lot just mentally, and maybe accept the trial, if it is, it can be a trial also, and that we need to go through. And, you know, we can mentally change our position on it and regain some of that we've lost. So there are possibilities along those lines. Okay. Is
one more?
Okay. Go ahead.
A thought that was brought out in class when we were going over this question that I appreciated is making the distinction between being charged and being overcharged. I mean, Obviously we're all charged with a certain amount of business per day to maintain our temporal needs and things like that. And we can, quite frankly, serve the Lord no matter where we're at. It doesn't have to be at a convention or in class necessarily. We're being examples throughout the day. And but again, as it's been brought out, discerning whether we're being charged or being overcharged is the key point. And we have to make sure that we're not being overcharged or getting more involved than we need to be. You know, how much income is enough income?
Right.
You know, how much do we really need to get by or to make a living and things like that? So the pastor suggests, you know, trimming where we can trim, that we may have more time for study and more time for service for the brethren, whatever, and things like that. So that was a thought that I appreciated on this question.
Thank you. That's a really nice summary of that question. Our time's really moving on here, and we do have some other starred ones. I think the first one that was starred that follows this is question 18. I know number 14 was as well. Do we have 15, is it? 15B? Okay, we'll hit that then. Pardon?
And number 18 was requested, as well as number 14.
Okay. We'll hit number 15B first, and then we'll hit number 18 and then 14 if we have time. The thought of praying for our enemies, what are some practice suggestions on this?
Sister Carol Long from Antioch. I appreciated this sweet sentence from reprint 1735, pray for their deliverance from the snares and delusions of Satan and the blindness which hinders them from discerning the beauty of holiness.
Oh, yeah, very good. Thank you. I think we'll limit these maybe to a couple comments. The other one along the same line would be we can pray from the perspective of the kingdom. We can think about them being restored to perfection, think about the fact that they're fallen and Satan is blinded, and we can think about helping them in the kingdom. Sometimes it's difficult to do this. Brother Robbie.
Brother Robbie from the Antioch Ecclesia. We're on 15B.
Right.
Manifest generosity of heart toward our enemies. To attain this sympathy and generosity is part of our instruction in the school of Christ. Reprint 5125 and also 3739. So one of the comments that really helped me during this study was from Sister Gail Grabner, that we're not going to change our enemies for the most part. It's us that we need to change, and praying will help us to do that, to have more sympathy. So I really have appreciated that comment for myself. It was a big help.
Very good. The other two, question 18. Should we pray to Jesus? The answer, of course, is yes. Remember the consecration prayer we read earlier? We had that in there. And then just maybe one other scripture. These scriptures do outline that. See, I think it's the Acts scripture that shows where Stephen's praying to our Lord, to Jesus there. So we want to consider doing that. Question 14. Do the scriptures suggest a particular position in prayer that would be most pleasing to our Lord? Over and over again, we see
ones on their knees, Daniel on their knees, others on their knees, and it does have a very strong effect on our hearts and minds to be on our knees in prayer. And the first thing in the morning, I think one of the first time I stayed with the brethren in a large situation, we were in a dorm, you know, with a bunch of other guys as a young kid. You know, to wake up and see all these brethren on their knees was just amazing, remarkable to me. You know, I just chills just go clear down my whole spine as I even think about it. All these brethren on their knees in that morning, first thing, you know, right after when they woke up, they were down and on their knees. First thing they thought about. So we want to be like that, and again, it has a large effect on how we feel, even that position in prayer. So with that, we're going to have to end the questions, and we'll turn the meeting back over here.
Well, thank you, Brother Steve. I'm sure that we were all edified by that. And those questions that we didn't complete, we can consider during our fellowship during the rest of the convention. We have as a closing hymn number 323. That's 323. Have a 15-minute time for fellowship, and we'll meet back here at 3:45 for Brother Dan's discourse. Might remind the brethren that there are letters of sympathy to various brethren on the back table, and to take a look at those when you have the opportunity. Brother Steve.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Again, we do look forward to thy kingdom with great joy when all might know of thee and thy gracious plans. We do now thank you for these...